Jesus desires your unwavering trust in Him. He yearns to be the cornerstone of trust, the very essence upon which your life relies. This is the ninth message in the series Waymaker. The message is entitled Frozen in Fear, Part 1. Here is Pastor Dale O'Shields.
Well, today we continue our series entitled Waymaker. I want to talk to you about how to deal with fear in your life. How do you deal with fear? Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus gave us three distinct titles in terms of who he is, what he does in our lives. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not our focus in this particular series to zero in on Jesus as the truth and Jesus as the life, although we certainly understand that and affirm that, but I'm focusing primarily on that first statement of Jesus where he said, I am the way. He is the way, obviously, to eternal life. The way we have the confidence that we'll go to heaven when we die is to put our faith in Jesus. We don't get there by our works. We don't get there by our efforts. We get there by the work of Jesus on the cross. He died for our sins, and we put our faith in him, and he gives us the precious gift of salvation by grace. Jesus is the way to eternal life. He's the way to God the Father. And if you want to know how to get to heaven when you die, the way is Jesus. He is the only way to salvation. But he's not only the way to salvation, but he's also the way through every problem you'll ever face in life. He's your waymaker now. He gets you through everything that you're going through as you make your way to that day when you'll spend eternity with God. Because he cares about not just your eternity, he cares about your now. He's concerned about what you're going through in this moment and in the various seasons of your life. And we all go through all kinds of stuff in our life. Stuff that's hard, obstacles that we face, challenges along the way, and this series is all about Jesus being the way maker through all these kind of circumstances in life. And one of the things that will rob people of happiness and joy and productivity, perhaps more than anything else, is something called fear. Fear is a terrible monster that gets a hold of us and keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. And fear has a twin sister, an evil twin sister called worry. And worry and fear go together. You really can't separate them. Where fear shows up, it's just a matter of time before worry or anxiety will be there. Or when anxiety or worry shows up, it's just a matter of time before fear will show up as well. And the Bible is very clear about this whole idea of dealing with fear and dealing with worry. I have not done the research myself, so I acknowledge that, but I have read people who've done this research, and someone who's done the research said that there are 365 statements in the Bible, do not fear. 365. If that's true, that would mean there's one do not fear for every day of the year. That every day when you wake up in the morning, God is saying something to you every day, and what he's saying to you is, do not fear, do not be afraid. Jesus was very clear during his earthly ministry to address the issue of worry and fear multiple times. Let me take you to Luke chapter 12, and let's see what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens as the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Please read verse 32 together with me aloud and loudly. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do you see those words? Do not be afraid, little flock. He's talking to you and I as the sheep, the lambs of his pasture. And John chapter 6 is an interesting story there about Jesus being the source that delivers us from fear. Let me tell you a little bit about this passage before we read it. Jesus had been on one side of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. They'd been ministering there, and Jesus wanted to go to the mountainside and pray, and so he puts his disciples in the boat and says, go across to the other side. In essence, he's going to meet them later. And so they get in the boat by themselves to cross over the Sea of Galilee. And they're in the water when it's turned dark outside, late in the evening. It's dark there, and of course, a storm breaks out as you read that story in John chapter 6. And in the midst of the storm, the waves are tossing that little boat about, and the waves are breaking over the bow of the boat, and the wind is blowing, and they're very much afraid. And to add to their fear, they see someone, something coming toward them on the water, and they're not quite sure what it is. One of the gospel writers said they thought it was a ghost. And so if you're shaken up by the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and then you think you're seeing a ghost, that just takes your fear to a whole nother level. Okay. So they're very worried and they're very afraid, but as that being approached them, they realized that it wasn't a ghost after all. It was Jesus. And I want you to notice what he said to them in the midst of their worry, in the midst of their fear. He said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Dear ones, I would hope and pray that you could hear Jesus saying to you today, don't be afraid, little flock. And it would be my prayer that you would hear Jesus saying to you today, it is I, don't be afraid. Fear is an interesting thing. As I said, worry and fear go together, and they usually are linked to some feeling of threat in your life. You feel threatened by something. There's a perception that you're being threatened by something, or maybe there's a real threat that you're experiencing in your life, and this sense of threat, something's going to be taken from me, my health, my safety. You're afraid of being physically harmed. You're afraid of some event happening that you can't figure out what's going to go on, how you're going to be safe or secure. Fear of loss. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my income. I'm going to lose my resources. There are all kinds of things that relate to this threat that comes upon us. And we find ourselves worrying in such a way that all the negatives are exaggerated. If you notice how fear does that to you, that fear and worry builds up in your mind, and what was little becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger before it becomes this monster that sort of swallows up your whole life. Everything that's negative gets exaggerated. Your imagination begins to run its own course, and all kind of what-ifs begin to occur in your life, and there's this intimidation that you can't seem to get over, and there's a paralysis that comes in terms of your progress and your productivity, and panic that sets into your life, and reactions that you have to run away or to fight it out. Fight or flight is what the psychologists refer to when it comes to worry and fear in our lives. So what do we do? Is there a way to deal with worry and fear when it comes? Is there a way to handle it? Are we just prone to be subject to this for the rest of our lives with no solution? I would say to you today, there is a solution. And the solution to worry and fear has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is our way maker in the midst of worry and fear. Jesus is the way maker that can carry you through. I'm not saying that there's an insurance policy that will result in you never having fear or worry ever again in your life, but I'm telling you, when the worry and fear shows up, there's some things you can do to lessen the impact of it in your life and to chase it out of your life. Jesus is our waymaker through fear and worry. I'm going to share with you today two action steps. We'll look at two more next weekend. I've broken this message into two parts because I wanted to take enough time to really talk about these things to you as we're doing in this series together. And I wrote this message a number of weeks ago. I can't even remember when. Probably back in January was when I was initially prepared the notes that I'm sharing with you today. But obviously, as I get to the week close to preaching the message, I take time to go back over and reflect and think about, pray over, and sort of resaturate my message into my heart and mind. And as I was doing that yesterday, I looked at the two points that I wanted to share with you today, and my initial thought was, boy, they're very simple, not very profound. But the more I thought about the two points I'm going to share with you, the more I realized, although they're simple, there's huge profundity. They're greatly profound. Because I thought about my own life, and I thought about the times when I'm afraid. And yes, there are times that I get afraid. And yes, there are times that I worry too. And we all do from time to time. And these two things I'm going to share with you today are my go-to things. That when I find myself worried and when I find myself afraid, I try to go to these two things. And although they're simple, I thank God that He's provided simple answers for us. It's not complex. He says, I'm going to show you exactly how to deal with it. And so today, I want you, even though these are simple points, to bite into them and to lay hold of them as being profound for your life and to begin to develop a pattern where when worry and fear shows up in your life, these begin to be the go-tos in your life. And the first thing is, if you're going to deal effectively with worry and fear, we have to know the nature of God. You have to know God and to know Him as your Father, because you will never overcome worry and fear if you're always trying to handle it by yourself. You need to know who your daddy is. Amen? I need to say that again. You need to know who your daddy is, okay? And your daddy is Father God, okay? Now, all through the ministry of Jesus, one of the purposes of Jesus being on earth was to reveal God to us. He said, I want you to know what God's like, and Jesus is God. And so Jesus came in the flesh to reveal God to us so that we could know what God is like, because God is in heaven, and we wonder, what is God like? And Jesus said, well, look at me, and if you see me, then you'll know who God is. You'll know what He is like. In fact, Philip, one of the disciples, asked Jesus a question one day and said, hey, show us the Father. We want to see God the Father. And please notice what Jesus says back to him in John 14, verse 9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus said, Philip, don't you know I've been with you all this time? And I'm here to show you. Every time I've healed a sick person, every time I've raised a dead corpse back to life again, every time I've touched blind eyes and they opened and they saw again, every time I spoke and deaf ears were released and they heard again, every time I rebuked a demon and it fled from the life of a person, every time I taught a lesson of truth that set people free. As I did this, it represented the Father to you. And so if you want to know who the Father is, you look at Jesus the Son, because Jesus the Son is a reflection of the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors at many different times and in many different ways through the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. God made His Son responsible for everything. His Son is the one through whom God made the universe. Please notice verse 3. His Son is the reflection of God's glory and the exact likeness of God's being. Did you get that? Jesus the Son is the reflection of God's glory and the exact likeness of God's being. He holds everything together through His powerful words. After He had cleansed people from their sins, He now holds the honored position, the one next to the majestic God the Father on the heavenly throne. And so to know God is to look at Jesus. So I'm going to talk to you for a few moments about how we see God through Jesus. What do we learn about God through Jesus that will help you when you're afraid and when you're worried? And I'm going to give you six things. I could have given you 60 today, but I'm only going to give you six, okay? I'm going to give you six things that you need to know about God that we see manifested in Jesus. And as we see it in Him, we know that's the Father and how He wants you to relate to Him and how He relates to you. And when you're worried and afraid, just know who God is. Number one, remember that God is all-powerful. There's not a single thing in your life, no problem that he can't handle, nothing that is too hard for him, no matter what you face that might create fear in your life. Please always remember, no matter what I'm going through that's making me afraid, God is far more powerful than that thing, okay? He's far more powerful than that thing. He is the all-powerful God. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be the bearer of the Christ child. And Mary's scratching her head and saying, how can this be? I've never known a man. How will it happen? And the angel says, well, the glory of God's going to overtake you and overshadow you. And that one born of you, birthed in you and conceived in you will be of the Holy Spirit. And she couldn't understand it. But then the angel declared these words in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. So when things come your way that intimidate you and threaten you and look so big in your life and so monstrous in your life, remember who God is. God is the all-powerful God. Number two, God is completely faithful. This is who God is. He's completely faithful. By faithful, he'll never let you down. We sang it earlier. Will he ever fail you? We declared it multiple times today. He won't, he won't, he won't, he won't. I'm not sure if that's correct English or not. I would say he will not, he will not, he will not. Okay. But the songwriter liked won't, okay. But the principle being so true that God will never fail you, which means he is faithful. Joshua, the great elder of Israel, as he's now getting to his last days and he's going to pass on the blessing to the next generation because he's going to die. It's all over for Joshua. And he says this to the people of God in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Soon I will die, Joshua says, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. He says, remember that. I'm going to be gone from here, but you must remember that every promise God gave has never failed. Why? Because God is faithful. That's who he is. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Of course not. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Of course not. Paul says it this way, if we're not faithful, he will still be faithful because he cannot be false to himself. I love that verse, don't you? Because there are many times in my life that I haven't lived up to my level of faithfulness, but God always remains faithful. Why? Because it's his nature. It's his character. When you are afraid and you're worried, remember who your daddy is, okay? Remember who God is. Who is he? He is all-powerful, and he is completely faithful. And thirdly, he is completely good. He is completely good. There is no bad in him. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Whatever you're going through in life, you can trust that God has good plans in store for you. He has something good that he's going to bring out of it. Romans 8, 28. Not on your notes or on the screen, but I will quote it for you. For we know that all things work together for the good of those that know God and live according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for not the bad, but for the good. Whatever you're going through in your life right now and the intimidating things you may be facing, remember this, God is all powerful and God is completely faithful and God is completely good. And fourthly, God is completely loving. He's completely loving. This is who God is. He's total love. And just like if you're a parent today, you know what it feels like to love your child. It's down in the core of your being. You cannot not love them. And a healthy relationship as a healthy parent, you cannot not love your kids. It's an essence of what you carry with you on the inside of your soul. And God, far more than that, we being evil, even feel those kind of things for our children. How much more does God feel for us? The tremendous love that he has for you, no matter what you've done, where you've been, what life has led you through, God has loved you. You're here today because of the love of God drawing you to himself. And so this love is the love that carries us through. It gets us past the fear in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is, what is God? God is love. He's agape. He's pure love. So when fear, that monster of fear, begins to sneak into your world and creep up upon you and begin to threaten you, you say, you know what, fear, let me remind you of who my daddy is. Let me remind you who my father is. He is all powerful. He's completely faithful. He is completely good. He is completely loving. And he is completely righteous and just. This is who God is, righteous and just. By righteous, I mean he's right all the time. Any test you give God, he's going to score 100% on it. Going to be no errors. Okay. Why? Because he never misses. Doesn't miss a question, doesn't miss. He's not lacking knowledge anywhere. He's not lacking wisdom anywhere. He's completely right all the time, and he's completely just all the time. Not only is he right, he always does right. Did you hear what I said? God not only is right, he does right. He's the God of righteousness and the God of justice. That means this: when you're going through a situation in your life that feels unjust, it feels like there's injustice in your life, and it doesn't feel like justice is winning out, let me remind you, at the end of it all, God is paying attention. Amen? At the end of it all, you can be aware of the fact there's a judgment day coming. There's a justice day coming one day. And all those injustices that we see in our world, that we worry about from time to time, and indeed they're there and they're very real, please remember God notices them as well, okay? God is fully aware of every injustice, and there'll be a day when he'll set every injustice right, okay? He may set it right for you in this life. It may happen in the next life, but I assure you that injustices will be made right. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. Acts 17, 31, for he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Obviously, this is Jesus. So when fear and worry come, I know who my Father is. Who is he? He's all powerful. He's completely faithful. He's completely good. He's completely loving. He's completely righteous and just. And he's readily accessible to all of us through his son, Jesus. Anytime you need him, he's there. Did you hear that today? Anytime you need him, he's there. He never hides from you. You don't need an appointment with him. You don't have to wait 3 months to see him, okay? Anytime you need him, he is there, right available for you and me. James chapter 4, verse 8, and when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. As soon as you draw close to God, whatever you're going through, God, I'm worried. God, I'm afraid. This is happening in my life. God says, when you draw near to me, when you draw close to me, I will immediately draw close to you. And then he tells us what we're to do. Wash your hands, you sinners. Let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to him. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach God's throne. It's the throne of grace, and to do it with confidence so we receive from him, so he's readily available to us. Can I just remind you of something today, that when you're going through things that make you afraid and things that cause you to worry, we have a tendency to look around at the circumstances, don't we? We start seeing all the problems here, and we see that problem, and if I have that problem, it's going to cause this problem, and then we start worrying about that and this, and if then that happens, this is going to happen for sure, and before long, we've got a whole string of things that we're worrying about, because one builds on the next one. There, I call them worry Legos, okay? They just get attached one to another, okay? And we build all the structure of worry in our mind, and do you know that your mind lies to you? It was a good amen right there, okay? Your mind lies to you. Don't believe everything you think, because you tell yourself lies all the time. And if you're not lying to yourself, the devil will lie to you, okay? And so we have all these lies that get in our head, and we start looking at all these lies and all these things that get in our head, and we start looking at all these things, and God says, would you stop looking at the circumstances? Stop looking around at all these things, and stop looking down as though you think your life is not going to, you're not going to make it. Don't stop that downward focus of your life, and stop looking around and stop looking down. Start looking up, amen? Start looking up, okay? Start looking up, okay? Lift your head, okay? As the psalmist said in Psalm 24, lift your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle, amen? Second thing today, okay? What's the first thing? You got to know who God is, know his nature. Number two, you got to choose to trust in God. Simple, but the real challenge, is it not? Once you know who God is, you have to make a choice. Are you going to trust him or not? That's a choice. And by the way, at the core of every healthy relationship is trust. That's the core of any relationship. You can't build a relationship without trust. Any friendship, any marriage, not going to work unless you trust, okay? Not just trust up here, but trust in your heart down here. You've got to have a trusting relationship. You can have transactions with people without trust, but you can't have a relationship with people without trust. And God is not interested in having transactions with you. He's not interested in just giving you stuff and like, okay, we don't have a relationship, but come to me, I'll give you some things along the way, but we're not gonna hang out together. No, God's not interested in transactions with you. He's interested in a relationship with you, which means he wants you to trust in him. Because when you trust in him, then you're able to have confidence and you build that relationship with him. And the theme of Scripture, going all the way through Genesis to Revelation, you'll see it over and over and over again. The theme of Scripture is for us to trust in God. You know what God wants more than anything else is for us to trust him. And our love for him comes out of trust. Trust and love, you can't separate those two things. When you love someone, you begin to trust them, and when you trust someone, you begin to love them. And so God wants a trusting, loving relationship. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know it well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your head, but your heart down here. And by the way, isn't that where fear happens, right? Doesn't fear hit you right there? And anxiety hits you right here. And God says, let me tell you something. Instead of that worry and fear, would you trust in me with all your heart, with your innermost being? And in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. Don't lean on your own understanding. Psalm 91, verse 2 says, this I declare, the psalmist said, for he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. Say it with me. I am trusting him. John 12, verse 44, Jesus shouted to the crowds, if you trust me, you're trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. So to put our trust in Jesus is to put our trust in Father God. John 14, verse 1 says, Jesus said, don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. Paul says in Ephesians 3, 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So what is trust? What is trust in God? Listen closely. Trust in God is confidence in God's character, confidence in God's word, and confidence in God's promises. Confidence that causes you to completely rely on him. That's what it means. When I say I trust in God, it means, God, I have confidence in your character. I know your character. You have integrity. I have confidence in your word that whatever you say is true. And I have confidence in your promises that whatever you promise, you will deliver on, that you never fail to deliver a promise. And so, God, my confidence is in you, in your character, in your word, your promises. So now, because I am confident in you, I will rely on you to handle what I can't handle in my life. I'm turning it over to you. Say it with me. I'm turning it over to you. That's what's called trust. Let me conclude with a final story here. The story I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to read two verses in just a moment, but let me tell you a little bit about them before we wrap up. We're just about done. It's in Mark chapter 5. Jesus went into a community one day, and a lot of people around him, and in the midst of that moment when he's there in that community, there's a man that runs up to him with a problem. He's worried. He's afraid. His name is Jairus. And Jairus has a daughter who's very sick unto death. The Bible says she's about to die. So Jairus, the synagogue ruler, is what he was. It was his title, his job, his profession. So he runs up to Jesus. Jesus, come to my house. I'm worried. I'm afraid. My daughter is dying. I need you at my house, and I need you to go with me right now. We must go. She's about to die. Jesus, come with me to my home. And Jesus began the journey with Jairus, this worried, fearful man. But something interesting happens on the way. Jesus is heading toward the house of Jairus. And on the way, there's another person in the crowd that no one knew about. It was a little lady who had been suffering with bleeding for 12 years. And she'd tried to get well, gone to doctors, and the Bible says she spent everything she had trying to get well. She could not get well. But she heard Jesus was in the town that day. So she said, you know, if I just get to him, if I'll just touch the edge of his garment, I know that I can be healed. He's the healer, and I don't need to bother him. In fact, I don't want anyone to know that I'm there because I'm unclean. She was considered to be unclean in the community because of the bleeding, the hemorrhaging that she was having. And so she says, if I can just sort of crawl through the crowd and get to him and touch the edge of his garment, I'll be healed. Now, please remember, where was Jesus going? To the house of Jairus. So he's on a journey to the house of Jairus, and this little lady comes in quietly, more than likely crawling through the crowd, reaches out and touches the edge of Jesus' garment, and Jesus stops the whole procession, says, whoa, time out. Who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Jesus, everybody's touching you. This is a big crowd here. What do you mean, who touched me? Okay. And no, somebody touched me because I felt healing, virtue flow. Who touched me? And then he turns around and sees this little lady. More than likely, she's in a down position. She's perhaps even on the ground. And he begins to call her out and minister to her, and he has a conversation with her. But what I want you to get right now is, can you imagine what Jairus was feeling when Jesus delayed the process of getting to his house? If I would have been Jairus, I would have said, Jesus, can't we do this one later? Amen? Wouldn't you? I came to you first, Jesus, okay? She'll be here when you get back. But we got a problem at home that we need you to go deal with right now. I don't have time for you to be talking to this lady. I'm glad she's well and all that, but let's get to my house and let's do it quickly because I got a bigger problem than she does, okay? Are you with me? So I can only imagine he's already fearful and afraid. And now his fear is going through the roof. His anxiety is going through the roof because the longer he waits, the greater the chance is going to be that his daughter is going to be dead. Are you with me on this? Okay. What would you have felt like if you were Jairus? I'd been like, Jesus, come on. Let your disciples handle this one, okay? Right? But let's see what happens here in the story. Mark 5, verse 35. While he was still talking to her, so the conversation must have lasted some period of time. While he was still talking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the news that it was too late. His daughter was dead, and there was no point in Jesus coming. Now, let's stop there for a moment. Can you imagine? Jesus is still having this conversation with this lady that's received healing, and someone from Jairus' home comes to where Jesus is, and to the whole crowd there says, don't worry about it now, she's already dead. There's no reason even for him to come now. Can you imagine what Jairus must have felt at that moment? His hopes were dropped out. His fear has now exacerbated to a level beyond, I'm sure, anything we could imagine at that moment. Not only does he have fear, but he's dealing with grief inside, all kind of emotions. But here's what I want you to see today. I want you to see the response of Jesus. Because what had happened is that someone was dying, was now dead. Something that was bad has now become worse. Are you with me? Dying, dead, bad. bad, worse. Let's see what happened here. Verse 36. But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, read with me, don't be afraid, just trust me. My goodness. Can you imagine there in that moment, Jesus says, hey, Jairus, just ignore what they're saying. Sometimes there are words that come our way, those lies of the enemy that try to find their way into our minds. The best thing we can do is just ignore those words. They don't let them have power in your life. Jairus, don't believe that. Ignore these words, because I want you to build your hope on my word. And my word is this: don't be afraid, just trust me. Don't be afraid, just trust me. And of course, Jesus then continues the journey to the house of Jairus. And there in that moment, he ministers not only healing, but resurrection to the little girl. She comes back to life again. They feed her some food and everything's great and wonderful. Why? Because Jairus learned a lesson that day. He learned that Jesus is the way maker in the midst of fear. Amen. Yeah. He's the way maker in the midst of fear. What I want to say to you today as we're wrapping up, what are you worried about? What are you worried about today? What are you afraid of today? We get so tied up on the inside, don't we? Trying to figure this out and leaning to our own understanding and trying to work that out and all these things that happen in our life. And we just torn up internally, worried and afraid. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? What's gotten you to that place of stress in your life right now? Can I encourage you, remember who your father is, amen? Remember who your daddy is, Father God, revealed to us in Jesus. And then choose today, I will trust in him. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Appreciate the fact that you've given us the truth of Scripture to cut through all the things we tend to think about, the messed up minds that we have at times. Lord God, you cut right through and you help us to hear your word that sets us free. So I pray for that refreshed revelation of who you are. I pray you'll help each one of us to choose today to put our trust in you. We ask it in Christ's name.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.